Morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Feeling quiet? Yeah. Yeah, good. Contemplative. It's Advent. That's appropriate. Good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sorry. What is it? Dry out or something? Yeah. Excuse my voice. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we heard from Isaiah, which also is Jesus quoted to John the Baptist, same reading in the gospel reading. But I'll talk to you mainly about the Isaiah reading. So there's a very famous Yiddish novelist by the name of Isaac Bashevis Singer. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And some people say he's the last great Yiddish novelist because, of course, most Yiddish-speaking people were killed during the Holocaust. And so he has a book of short stories that I love. And one of the stories he tells, which he says is a real story, is a story about two very young Jewish people who were caught up in the Warsaw ghetto, which was kind of left alone by the Nazis for a while. But towards the end, they decided they wanted to clean it up, that is to kill everybody, and or to move them to concentration camps. So there's a young couple, I think it was David and Rebecca, that managed to survive the roundup and survived in the sewers of the Warsaw Ghetto. And then what they would do is during the day, they would hide in the sewer. And at night, one of them would go out and they'd forage for food. So one night, Singer says, they had a particularly successful foraging. David went out and he was foraging and he brought back a frozen potato, some candies, and a candle. So that was a very successful night for them. And so they're eating their food, and David is lighting this candle and he's praying over it. And Rebecca says to him, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, don't you realize this is the first day of Hanukkah?" And so the thing is, the situation that they're in is that it's dangerous to leave. But the longer they stay, the more dangerous it is to stay. And she in particular has been hesitating, understandably to fear. She's hesitating to get up and leave. And but that night they get up and leave. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about that in a second. So we have chapter 34 and 35 of Isaiah, which are linked together. They're like this. They're like two halves of a book. And we, as often happens in the lectionary, we hear the good part. They don't think we can handle the bad part, right? So 34 is not very nice. 35 is wonderful, as you heard. It's inspiring and presents a vision of future. To the Jewish people, and not just to the Jewish people, to us as well, which is that I want to say life is a highway. We got to ride it all night long, but that's not the Bible, is it? But think of a royal highway going through the wilderness. And this highway is like, it's not just a highway. It's like the Garden of Eden come back to life again. And there'll be no dangerous animals. It'll be well-watered. It'll be fruitful. It'll go through all the places that have been devastated. And you will return to the holy city, to the temple, which has been destroyed. And it's beautiful. 34 is not so beautiful. Ever read The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot? That ring a bell with anybody? Okay, that you know what I'm talking about. It's like, here's what happens, God's judgment on, I think it's Edom in particular, which is that his judgment is so severe that the land has turned back into the original state of nothingness. And it's the point is, this is what happens when people worship idols and they turn away from God, whether it's the Edomites or whether it's the Israelites, or whether it's us. What happens is our lives become less and less fruitful if we worship idols, and they become more and more, well, it's like Mordor, right? In Lord of the Rings, they look more like Mordor, like it's the dead land. If you ever read the book, you'll notice the further they get into it, they're going, why aren't there any birds singing? you know, they start to notice that there's no bird singing here. There's no animal life. And then it gets more and more, you know, towards the original uncreated wilderness that almost doesn't exist. So if 34 is like that, 35 is like the Garden of Eden, right? And so they have been living in something like chapter 34. It's like the Warsaw Ghetto, right? Their land has been devastated, and their temple has been destroyed. We know what the Feast of Hanukkah is about. It's the desecration of the temple by the Greeks, and the murder of Jewish people by the Greek kingdom. And then we have the Babylonians, and they do pretty much the same thing. And so they've been living in the same kind of desolation, right? This is their life. But now they've received this vision. It's like they've been given a Hanukkah candle. They've been given this vision, which we heard today. Holy highway is waiting before you for those who are righteous. You go, oh, the righteous. I mean, those who've actually managed to remain Jews in Babylon, right? So the holy highway is waiting for you. Trust me, the devastation of this desolate landscape is over. God is preparing a new way for you, which is like a Garden of Eden in the wilderness. And what we do know from later on in Isaiah is that the prophet, your God's word, is offering them this hope. And what's our hesitate? What happens to us? I just gave the word away. What happens to us when we've been in a situation of fear and devastation, and somebody offers us something which seems too good to be true, right? We hesitate, right? And so we can see a person called Second Isaiah hesitating or convincing them while they hesitate and they hesitate and they hesitate, and they don't know if they can trust God enough to move forward. Understandably, because they have been so severely traumatized. There's a word that keeps coming back to me because my washing machine repairman gave it to me the last time that he came over. And he's a very devout Christian. And I can't find his number anymore. If any of you know him, please talk to me, because we really need some help. But he said, I keep thinking of the word restoration. And I go, what people are longing for in this story, in this part of the Bible, is they're longing for restoration, and they're so afraid to hope in it. They're afraid it can't possibly be true, that they could be restored. So Isaac Bathsheba Singer says he is interviewing Rebecca, and I believe she's married to David. I remember the story correctly. It's been a while since I've read the short story. But anyway, she's interviewing her in her apartment in Tel Aviv many years later, a couple of decades later. And there she is. They survived. And they made their way through the Balkans, through Greece, the Mediterranean, and finally by boat all the way to what is now Israel. Then it was British-mandated Palestine, what eventually became Israel. And he said to her, what inspired you when you're so afraid and the situation is so dangerous to actually go forward? And she said, it was that one light of that one Hanukkah candle. That's what inspired me. So we Anglicans are probably most famous for our poets. And one of our most famous poets is John Donne. I don't know if people know John Donne or not. He's a priest and a poet, 17th century, 16th century. And he makes this same point. I'm going to give you a kind of a modernized version of the language so you can hear this. I just think he says it so well. First of all, he notes that God is full of surprises, right? He said, I just love the way he puts this. He brought light out of darkness, not out of lesser light. Out of complete darkness, not out of lesser light. He can bring your summer out of winter, though you have no spring. Smothered, stupefied until now, God comes. All sins, all occasions invite his mercy. That's worth thinking about, right? All of our sins, all of our occasions, everything going on in our life, all these are simply invitations to his mercy. And all times are his seasons. And the person writing this article goes, and that is what is meant by miracle. So, what is it? What is the light that we have that leads us forward when we're afraid and we can't believe restoration is possible? What is that light? This word was given to us, to not just for the Jews, it's given in, back in Babylon, it's given to us today. Do not be afraid. I have prepared a holy highway before you. Do not be afraid. God has chosen to restore you. What do we pray for? To be restored. And where do we look for unexpected mercy? The kind John Donne was talking about. Unexpected mercy. A summer that has no spring. That goes directly from winter to summer. Where do we want that? Where do we hope for it? Where is the new life in Christ in which we expect, we hope for restoration? Those areas of life which we hope Jesus will bring us restoration. What are those areas? Where is Jesus' light calling us right now? What restoration are we praying for? Let's just pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us this vision of healing, of guidance, of light, of restoration. We thank you. This word is not just for the past. This word is living and true and speaks to us in the present. You know our hearts, Lord. You know where we long for your light to shine and for restoration to come in our parish, in our families, in our lives, in our own spirits. We simply say to you, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.